Father, open our hearts and minds to your word. Thank you for the senior ministry of this church and for all those seniors who serve in the church ministries. Help us to remember we are charged to walk in the way of Jesus every day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The call to worship will be followed by the hymn of praise, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, found on page 400 of the United Methodist Hymnal. Let us join our voices in praise. How good it is to bring our thanks to God. Praise the Lord, rejoice, sing with a joyful voice. God has poured his steadfast love upon us. Praise the Lord, rejoice. Sing with a joyful voice. All the works of the Lord have made me glad. Praise the Lord. Rejoice. Sing with a joyful voice. Thank you. the people of God, let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Peace of Christ be with you. Take a moment and greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ now.
Prayer concerns today. We'd like to remember the family and friends of Lavinia Williams on the occasion of her death this week. Her services will be today at Hooper and Huddleston. Visitation begins at noon, and the memorial service will be at 1. Also, we certainly would like to pray for all the people in the areas affected by the Hurricane Florence. So many people are displaced, and the damage and the lives interrupted. If you happen to be with us today from that area, we certainly would welcome you and pray for you as you return home. Also, we'll be sending a few folks to that area from our disaster relief team, and we'll certainly pray for their safe travels and that their work might be a blessing to those who have been affected. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have given to us all that we are and all that we have. Now we give it all back to you and stand under your will alone. In a special way, we give to those these later years of lives. We are among those who have been called by you in our older years, a call not given to all, not given to Jesus, not given to most in our world today. We humbly ask you to grace us for each day of our journey going into the future. As our physical eyesight weakens, may the eyes of our faith grow stronger, so that we may see you and your love more clearly in everything. As our hearing fails, may the ears of our hearts be more attentive to the whisper of your gentle voice. As our legs weaken and walking becomes more difficult, may we walk more truly in your paths, knowing all the while that we are held in the embrace of your love. As our minds become less alert and our memory begins to fade, may we remain peaceful in you, aware that with you there is no need for thought or word. We ask simply that we be there with you. And should sickness overtake us and we be confined to bed, may we know ourselves as one with your Son, as he offered his life for the salvation of the world. Finally, as our hearts slow a little after the work of the years, may it expand in love for you and all people. May it rest secure and grateful in your loving heart until we are lost in you completely and forever. For all those on our prayer list and in our hearts, may your healing touch be upon them so that they might find wholeness of mind, body, and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. things come from you, O God, our God and God of all. With gratitude we give our gifts, our offerings, ourselves. At this moment we ask you to bless all that we have given, that your love will shine through and others will be blessed by the giving of these gifts. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
I'm here delighted to share with you that not only do we have a very active senior adult ministry at Cookeville First Methodist, United Methodist, but we have an award-winning senior adult ministry. The Tennessee Conference established Encore, which is run by Dr. Richard Gensler, to help churches form senior adult ministries that are vibrant, to consult with them on their continuing operations, and to support them financially and through grants. Well, I'm very pleased to tell you that this year at annual conference, our senior adult ministry here at First United Methodist in Cookeville was awarded an Encore Award for excellence and innovation in senior adult ministries. And this included a check that will be used for different projects. One of the great things about Encore is it not only is leading senior adult ministries to minister to senior adults, but through senior adults, with the emphasis on senior adults can be a vibrant and essential part of a church achieving its mission. So, and forgive my pridefulness, but we were the first awarded. So sorry, God. So I appreciate very much the hard work of Harry Smith and the Senior Adult Council, which led us down this wonderful path. Thank you.
You have probably noticed Mark Noyce takes a pause before delivering his sermon. I felt a need to take a similar pause but can't verify it's for the same reason. But I felt the need to say a very brief and quick prayer to the effect, may my words today be helpful, not harmful. My words be uplifting, not burdensome. May my words be not discouraging, but encouraging. And lastly, at this age, may I not lose my train of thought? I'm sure some of you here can relate to that. But we're here to celebrate our seniors. Not only our seniors, but the church as a whole, but place emphasis on the seniors today. Over the past 9 months, there has been a concerted effort of your senior peers, our senior adult council called SAC, to bring the great senior ministries to the forefront. The senior adult council strives to support our senior ministries as they address the needs of not only our senior members, but members of all ages through our church, while also reaching out into the community at large. As part of our support to senior members, we felt it was important to set aside a Sunday for special recognition. Hence, today is Senior Sunday at First United Methodist Church. As seniors, we tend to be very proud of our family, and one popular topic of seniors is their children and their grandchildren and even their great-grandchildren. And at this time, we want to recognize the generations that may be in attendance here. So as I call the generations, with those of you in your family representing the second, third, and even fourth generations, please stand to be recognized. At this time, with families with two generations, please stand. Surely we have some with two. Ah, there we go. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Families here representing three generations in attendance, would you please stand? One. Oh, there's now more are popping up. Very good. Thank you. And any families here representing four generations, please stand. We'll get there. We hope all of you have plans after church for spending some extra time with your family and enjoy that quality time. But the title is The Journey from Youth, from Child to Youth to Adult to Senior. And you'll notice the title of this segment is just that. Hopefully you realize that each and every one of us is constantly on a journey, regardless of our stage in life. As I very briefly share with you my journey, I ask that you reflect on your journey. Where have you been? Where are you now? And where are you going? March 3rd, 1879, in Sabine Prairie Parish, Louisiana, a child was born, no, not me, and given the name of Thomas Irwin Smith. 62 years later, in 1941, in Wentzville, Missouri, then a very small town just a few miles due west of St. Louis, that same Thomas Irwin Smith became the pastor at a local Methodist church. A year later, 1942, in St. John's Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, a child was born named Harry Thomas Smith. The father of that child was Thomas Irwin Smith, Jr., and the son of Reverend Irwin Smith, Sr. Hence, the journey for me begins. Childhood, stage one. Thessalonians 1, verse 7 states, we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. So at the age of two, my mother and I left St. Louis and moved to a farm just south of Mexico, Missouri, lived there till completion of my college. I attended a one-room country school, rare now, with 24 pupils, other farm children in all 8 grades, one teacher, and 2 outhouses. I was but a child at this stage. If you here in the congregation are in your childhood listening to this service, please rest assured there are other children, youth, adults, and seniors who care for you and love you. Stage 2, youth. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. So Mother and I attended Bethel Church, a rural one-room country church, with approximately 30 adult members and 12 to 18 young people of all varying ages, and two outhouses attached to the back as a lean-to. We had Sunday school every Sunday and preaching every third or fourth Sunday. Evening participation in the MYF, the Methodist Youth Foundation, was mandatory. Stage 3, adult. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 29. Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and put it on you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest. The transformation from youth to adult is a difficult stage in our lives. When does the transition from youth to adult take place? How many of us vividly remember being told or saying, you're not an adult yet, and when you are, you can fill in the rest. Well, high school graduation led to my first major adult decision that most of us have to make at this stage. What happens now? Exercising one of the three options my mother gave me, I could stay at home, work, and pay rent. I could join the military, or I could apply to college, knowing that I would have to work because she could not afford to give me a free ride. I chose the latter, a university 95 miles away, and maybe I picked it because I viewed it as the lesser of three evils. Following my university graduation, 38 years of teaching, 6 at high school level and 32 at university level proved to be a challenging, enjoyable, and rewarding career. Admittedly, during this time as adults, we are also busy working and focusing on our careers, providing for our families, taking time to raise our children. We may find less time to be involved in the church, as was my case. This stage can also be very stressful. If we look at James, verse 12, it says, happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, they will receive their reward in life, which God has promised to those who love him. So now we come to stage 4. In Proverbs, verses 20 through 29, or verse 20, 29, the glory of young men is in their strength, but the splendor of old men is in their gray hair. I'm jealous. As we enter our senior years, 55 plus, we become more concerned about the completion of what are called our most productive years. We're facing retirement, and we're wondering what lies beyond. And as those years quickly pass, we find ourselves watching our children raise their children. We find ourselves empathizing with the many issues facing younger members in our family. We have years of experience to share, but we don't want to be intrusive. We have years of knowledge we can impart. However, we're also well aware that some issues and events our children and grandchildren have can only work through by themselves. Regardless, it is so important we remind them, we are here for you. Jeremiah 31, verse 25, for I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. In your insert, you have an insert in your bulletin. If you would take that out, please. At the top, it says Senior Adult Ministries. I'm going to just highlight it. You can read this in more detail when you get home. But down in the second paragraph, we know senior members each have unique abilities and needs, and our goal is to meet them wherever they are. Spiritually, we profess the missions of the church. Intellectually, we're sharing life experiences and talents. Emotionally, we're providing emotional stability and support. Physically, we're using technical skills developed over a lifetime by simply being supportive and caring for one's health and well-being as well as others. Financially, we're providing monetary support of selected missions, projects, and activities. And on the back, you'll see the opportunities that as seniors and young adults, even you can become involved. Under the caring and serving, you will find a list of ministries. Under the health and well-being, under the creative and social, under spirituality, and plus we have many other opportunities on the horizon, including travel buddies, transportation ministry, at-home visitations, lifelong learning classes. But the important message here, I think, is you may be the missing piece. You may be missing the fun, so come and join us. And you can find us at the website at the bottom of the insert. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's scripture is from the 22nd Psalm in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. Hear these words. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises in your name, Most High, to proclaim your loyal love in the morning, your faithfulness at nighttime with the 10-stringed harp, with the melody of the lyre, because you make me happy, Lord, and by your acts. I sing with joy because of your handiwork. The righteous will spring up like a palm tree. They will grow strong like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who have been replanted in the Lord's house will spring up in the courtyards of our God. They will bear fruit even when old and gray. They will remain lush and fresh in order to proclaim. The Lord is righteous. He's my rock. There's nothing unrighteous about him. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is found on the path of righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Last month at our senior adult monthly lunch called Young at Heart, the speaker was the director of Encore, which is a ministry with the Tennessee Conference. Tina mentioned it earlier, that works with senior adult ministry throughout our state. The director is Richard. He told a story that I want to share with you today about a senior adult woman, maybe in her 70s, had just finished taking her morning shower in the master bathroom. She got out and looked in the full-length mirror. Her husband was just right in the room there, in the master room, on the bed reading a book. As she looked at herself right out of the shower, she was a little discouraged. She said to her husband, "I just look awful. My legs are too thick. I'm sagging everywhere. My face is covered up with wrinkles, and my hair now is just, it's almost all gray." She said to her husband, "I need for you to tell me something positive that will make me feel better about myself." And he looked at her and he said, "Well, at least your eyesight is still perfect." I don't think that's what she was looking for, but since Richard told that story, I felt permission to do the same. Another one that's better about an aging woman, you've heard of her, Agatha Christie, famous writer, when she was in her late 60s, was married to an archaeologist. He was well known in his field. He studied ancient ruins all over the globe. Someone asked her, "What's it like to be married to an archaeologist?" She said, "Wonderful. The older I get, the more interested he becomes in me." That's a better answer. Time magazine, just a few days, published an article called "Why You Can Look Forward to Being Happier in Old Age." Very fascinating. They called forth some massive research that has been done that has discovered that all over the globe, the two happiest times generally in people's lives are childhood and then senior adult years. It's like a U. The worst, unhappiest time of life is like that trough in your 50s with all the responsibilities over you. But when you get to your old age, you are more happy in general than any other time in your life. And I know that sounds counterintuitive in a culture that worships youth. And so the writer acknowledges that. Let me quote. He says, "Your strength flags, your world narrows, much of what gave you pleasure and satisfaction is now gone. But as it turns out, happiness is still very much with you, often more so than ever before." And the article basically said, for all kinds of reasons, that the senior adult years indeed are the happiest years for most people, not only in the United States, but all over the world. The writer concludes with this paragraph. He says, "Yes, death is non-negotiable, something that can only be delayed, never avoided. It's a mercy, then, that when we do reach the end, so many of us arrive there smarter, calmer, and even smiling. I am certainly today not discounting some of the challenges of older life. They are real. But the fact remains now, even done on massive social research, that the senior adult years of our life have the potential of being absolutely the best chapter of our entire journey. And the Bible acknowledges that. You heard a moment ago from Psalm 92, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. You know, I see that virtually every day as pastor of this good church. I see the senior adults of this congregation actively engaged in life, serving God, serving church, serving this community, connecting with people, and experience a richness in their lives. Now, I'll fess up, because in just a few months, I will be, it's hard to believe, 62 years old. I am technically, and have been for a while, in my senior adult years. I could pull out my wallet and show you my AARP card, and maybe you have one. But I am on the early cusp of this stage of life. And so today I thought, rather than me talking about senior adulthood, I'd get some help with one of our senior adults. So I'm going to ask Ken Fuller to come up here and join me. And I'm going to interview him just for a little bit here and ask Ken a few questions. Someone asked me why I didn't wear a robe today. The answer is robes and stools are not a good combination. Ken? And I don't think Ken would mind me telling you, Ken is 82 years old now, yep. Young, and he's still going strong. And I see him at church every Sunday, but I also see him at the Y every week, working out, staying in shape. Thank you, Ken. I have a few questions, and we'll move through them, all right? Okay. Number one, tell us what you did before you retired, and then we'll get to the retired years.
Okay.
Oh, right, yeah. Up here.
All right. I'm usually loud enough with that. But after I graduated from Murray State, I was drafted into the service. I spent 2 active years in the Army. I came out 2 years in the reserves. And then I started with the J.C. Penney Company in September 1960, in Paducah, Kentucky, and progressed through the company, and with several moves, as like most ministers are, we moved a lot, and finally end up here in Cookeville, Tennessee, in 1977, when the mall opened on October the 5th, 1977. And I managed the store for 19 years and was able to retire here. The company wanted to move me again, but I begged them to let me stay because we found what we wanted in all their moves, that Cookeville was the place for us, our family was here, and I begged them to let me stay, and they did. At that time, quality of life was more important than another promotion, and I absolutely have no regrets, and we're delighted to still be here.
Good. What surprised you after you retired? What was the most surprising thing as you moved into a new era?
Well, I've been retired a little over 21 years, and I can't believe how fast it has gone. It has been just it seemed like just a couple of years ago, but it's here now.
Okay. Ken, I know some of the answer to this, but briefly tell us, how do you take care of yourself, try to keep yourself physically fit?
Well, I go to the Y. I go on the Y on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I see your pastor there on Friday mornings, and he's at it too. And I play golf on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturdays. I go to choir practice on Wednesday nights. I'm here on Sunday, and I work at the food pantry on Tuesday afternoon, so I have a good full schedule, which I love.
All right, thank you. I was going to ask you what you've been doing here, but you've sort of answered that.
Let me expand on that a little bit. I've served in several committees in the church since I've been here. Of course, I've been here 41 years now. And since retirement, my wife, Carol, was here when the food pantry started. And that was, at least 20 years ago. And of course, she asked me to volunteer, and I know all you husbands know what that means when you're asked to volunteer. And so I've been volunteering for at least 20 years. The next thing that I've been involved the most in that is the closest to me is the choir. I absolutely love this choir. I've been in this choir for 41 years. And it is... It really helps restore your faith. It's such a privilege to be here and be a part of the service. And as you have noticed, probably, our choir is aging out. We need some of you to step up to the plate. And it's only one night a week, 1 hour. We have a lot of fun. And I tell you, you will get more out of it than you put into it. It is absolutely a blessing to be in this choir. So we ask you to come forward.
Well, I know Kathy appreciated that word. And I got ahead of myself. I want to ask you a question. You worked a lot of years. What's the payoff of your... What's been the good thing and the opportunities that retirement has allowed you?
Well, we always liked going places. And when I retired, and I know many of you have experienced the same thing, travel. My goodness, we've had so many wonderful, wonderful trips. The travel has been something more than I ever dreamed about. And if you haven't, I encourage you to do it. There's so many wonderful places. We've been to Europe, we've been to the United States, and there's just as many wonderful, probably more wonderful places in the U.S. to see than any place. And it's been one of the highlights of retirement. The other thing is spending more time with family. I'm very fortunate to be able to have had all of my family here during my retirement. We've had a wonderful time with our grandson, but the joy of our life and the happiness is our three great-granddaughters, 14, 11, and 8, and they are absolutely a joy and bring smiles to our face all the time.
And I understand that. I have two of my grandchildren here this morning as well. Well, let me ask you, we're running out of time, but we're in church this morning. How has your faith evolved and developed as you've reached these latter years since when you worked and during your retirement?
Well, I never thought I'd get here. I say I've been here 41 years and in this church, and to be introduced to this fine congregation as a senior citizen, wow, I just thought it never happened, but I made it. I look upon life as phases. I think Martin kind of talked about, or Harriet talked a little bit about that. You know, the first phase is when you start in your career, you're raising a family. You just don't have a lot of time except for that. And it's everything at that time seemed like it's black and white, no gray area. Then as you progress, you know, I guess the next step is you start talking and hearing them and happening about health. I'm sure we'd all relate to that. I can remember very well when things started to happen, little aches and pains, and then you wonder, where have those things been all these years? They've been hidden. Now all of a sudden they're coming alive. And but you deal with it because you have to have your faith. I think this time of life, as Martin has said, is the most rewarding and the most challenging time of life. There's one of the most challenging things that I have been through, we as a family, is we lost our son 8.5 years ago. He was only 45 years old. He was diagnosed with cancer at age 40, colon cancer. At that time, you know, you think, well, he's young. All the things we have, it won't be a problem. Of course, you continually pray to God for that. And then you have some good times and bad times. And then it progresses when you know it's not going to happen. And then you pray for some quality time. And a little of that, but not much. And then it comes to the end where we prayed for God to take him, because we knew he would no longer suffer and I knew that he'd be with God because God is a kind person who takes care of people who do right. He was a kid of good character, and I tell you, this was a very testy time for my faith. But that's the time that's most important, that you call upon God to help you get through these things. And after he passed, and during that time, I think my faith grew even stronger because I knew that God was with me.
Thank you, Ken, for sharing that personal. Last thing I would say is just, is there anything else you want to share before we're done?
Yeah, I'd like to end this on a happy note. There's many, many senior citizens out here, I can see. And one of the best things that I have encountered is your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the cute things they say, the cute things that they do, and I've heard so many great stories. I know Kathy has shared several with her little great-daughter in the choir pastor that were so funny and so cute. So I'm going to tell you one. My youngest great-granddaughter, Caroline, is 8 years old, but this happened about 2 years ago when she was six. And we always pick them up one day a week from school and take them home, give them snacks, because they're always starved to death. So one day we said, well, you want to go up to some, let's go to, you can either go to Dairy Queen or we'll go get donuts, whatever you want. So they said, let's go to Dairy Queen. So I said, fine. So we went there, and Caroline looked up and said, well, Granddaddy, why can't we do both? I said, well, Caroline, you really don't need both. And besides, we don't need to spend extra money on something we don't need. She said, now, Granddaddy, you're going to have to start spending your money because you're not going to live much longer. So I said, Caroline, what do you mean? So they in math, they were learning how to count to 10. She said, well, you're 80, and that's real close to 100. So.
Thank you to Ken for coming and sharing with us today. I appreciate all who have helped. Let me wrap up. I came upon a quote just this week. So senior adults have it all. They have the time, desire, ability, and often the finances to do great things. This is not true of all senior adults, but it is true of many. And he's right, these are years of great promise. Senior adults are an essential part of the life of this church, and I am grateful for all engaged in this part of the journey here at our church. Many of you have heard of the Talmud. This is a collection of Jewish writings of the rabbis. Came upon an interesting quote that I'll conclude with. A rabbi says, he who learns from the young eats unripe grapes and drinks new wine. He who learns from the old eats ripe grapes and drinks old wine. Now, I'm no expert on wine. I don't drink, but I'm pretty sure new wine's not the best. Old wine is the best. The rabbi is affirming the value and the wisdom of senior adulthood. As Psalm 22 says, they will still bear fruit in old age. May that be true in your life and mine. Amen. Harry has a final one-minute word, and then we'll sing our concluding song in just a moment.
And I'm going to make it less than 1 minute in deference to the time we have. Judges 8:6, and the priest said to them, go in peace, the journey on which you go is under the eye of the Lord. To our children today, I say, trust your parents. To our youth today, I say, trust in what you know is right. To the adults today, I say, trust you can be a positive role model. And to my senior adult peers, I say, yes, we are aging, but we're not aged out. And to all here, I say collectively, we are the First United Methodist Church, Cookeville, Tennessee, and we ask God to continue to guide and bless us.
Harry, and thanks to all of you who participated. Our closing hymn is number 733. 733, would you stand as we sing together? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.